Please welcome nationally syndicated radio host and New York Times best-selling author, Dave Ramsey.
Well, I can honestly say most of the lessons in Financial Peace University are my favorite lessons. This is no exception. This is one of my favorite lessons. I love teaching this. Working in your strengths. Dealing with careers and extra jobs. Open up your workbooks to Working in Your Strengths. Careers and extra jobs. You know, we spend, of our 13 lessons, or our 12 lessons plus a bonus lesson, we spend all of them but one talking about the outgo. The outgo, the money that is leaving, controlling the money as it leaves, telling it what to do as it leaves. The baby steps have to do with arranging the money in such a way that as it leaves, we are getting out of it what we want to get out of it. This is the lesson where we talk about the income. There's two sides to this equation. There's both outgo and income. And sometimes outgo is not the problem. Sometimes income is the problem, or rather a lack of income is the problem. I mean, if we can increase the income, all our problems will be solved. No. But a lot of the problems would be dealt with on the income side of the equation. And so we've got to talk about that. It's the old thing, if your outgo exceeds your income, then your upkeep will become your downfall. You've heard that, right? And in our culture today, the only thing you can count on when it comes to the workplace, the only thing you can count on when it comes to career is change. The only steady thing is change. Isn't that a paradox? The only thing that is predictable is change. The rate of change is absolutely astronomical in our culture. As soon as you understand something about technology, it's over. I can't even get the software to work before I have to download the new version. And it's the same way in our careers. Because technology is changing so fast, different ways of accessing the marketplace is changing so fast, companies' approach to things are changing so fast that the workplace and what you do changes so fast. You have to do what Zig Ziglar says. You have to commit to being a lifetime learner. You have to constantly be growing and learning to be able to win in the marketplace because things change so, so quickly. The average job in America right now only lasts 2.1 years in length. Well, Dave, I've been on the job 5 years. Well, that means you're overdue to get fired. Or you're overdue to get a better job. Or you're overdue for something. The average is 2.1 years. That's pretty amazing. The average worker will have as many as 20 different jobs in their lifetime. The Bureau of Labor Statistics tells us that the average worker by the age of 40 will have had over 10 different jobs. My grandfather, when he got married, it was the year of the Great Depression began, the crash of the stock market. And he got a job with Alcoa Aluminum, and he worked for Alcoa Aluminum 38 years. Had one job in his whole life. Those days are just about gone. There are a few people who will do that. There are a few companies that will allow you to do that. There are some companies that will actually stay open under the same management for that period of time. But they're very, very rare, aren't they? That mindset is two generations ago. The mindset today is I have to know who I am and how I function in the market, and that's the security that I have, not finding a job, a company I can count on and ride it all the way into retirement. That's not normal anymore. Now, is it going to happen sometimes? Sure, it can happen. I'm not saying it's a bad idea. It's just very, very unusual with the rate of change that we have. The other thing you need to realize about our economy right now is that small business really is the backbone of our economy. 98.3% of the companies in the U.S. have fewer than 100 employees. That's almost all of them. Of the companies that have more than 500 employees is only 0.29%. One quarter, roughly, of 1% of the companies have 500 employees or more. So big companies aren't generally going to be the answer to your career issues because most companies aren't big companies. That's what those numbers tell us. And big companies don't always give you the results you're after. Again, I'm not against a big company. I'm giving you the marketplace and how it looks and feels right now. So I don't want you to have the illusion if I could just get a job with a big, stable company. Because big, stable companies last year, according to the Department of Bureau of Labor Statistics, laid off 995,000, 1 million people. At the same time, small businesses hired 1,900,000 people during that same period of time. So, you know, is that always true? No, it's not always true. There's an ebb and flow in our economy. But the point is this. The backbone of the American economy is the entrepreneurial movement. Whether you're an entrepreneur or not, walking with one or some is always going to be a good plan as you develop your long-term career plan. Now, let's talk about you and how you can win. How can you know where you ought to be and what you ought to be doing if you don't know who you are? Sometimes in America, sometimes people give you advice, hey, go get a job over there. They're paying well. You should go be one of those. They make good money. You ought to be a doctor. They make good money. You ought to be a lawyer. They make good money. You ought to be an engineer. They make good money. I hate details. I can't stand math, but I should be an engineer because they make good money. And that's the way people think. We're going to chase the dollar. And you will never have a great life, and you will never catch the dollar, never make good money in your career, as long as you think that way. So if you're in here and you hate your job, I'm talking to you. If you're in here and you love your job, I'm talking to you. If you're in here and you're an employer and you wish everybody that worked for you loved their job, I'm talking to you. There's a process that you go through to think about these things, and the place you start is with you. Speaker and author Marcus Buckingham has identified some common myths that often rob people of having fulfillment and enjoyment in their careers. He has a wonderful video series out. If you ever get the chance to watch it, I suggest it, called Trombone Player Wanted. Any of you ever seen Marcus Buckingham's Trombone Player Wanted? Oh, good. I just made him a whole bunch of new fans then. Check him out. It's really good stuff. He says that the myth is that as you grow, you change. That, you know, those things that you're not naturally good at, you'll become better at them as you mature. And the truth instead, according to Marcus, and I agree with him, is you don't really outgrow your personality. You have tendencies and strengths and weaknesses, and you don't tend to outgrow those. I mean, think about your kids. When they're little, one of them has a tendency to do one thing. My oldest one, we talked about this in the investment lesson. My oldest one is very precise and very exact and likes to keep the rules. Guess what? She needs to enter a job where she's very precise, very exact, and likes to keep the rules. That hasn't changed since that kid came, you know, since we brought her home from the hospital. She was very precise in the crib. She was giving out orders then. Look at your kids when they're little. You can think about, my son is a servant-oriented young man. But he's been that way. He's had that kind of a heart. He's always helped people ever since he was little. As soon as he could do that, he's just always functioned that way. It's how his spirit operates. It's who he is. That doesn't change. You don't outgrow your personality. And so we have this thing of somehow, this one's exact and isn't flamboyant. We need to make her flamboyant. Or this one's flamboyant and isn't exact. We need to make her exact. We need to fill in the gaps. They're not gaps. They're differences. Don't fill in the gaps. That's what Buckingham is pointing out, and he's exactly right about that. And that is really, you don't want to be well-balanced. You don't want to be well-rounded. That's ridiculous. You want to be good. That's what you want to be. You want to be excellent. I don't want to be good at some of the things that some of my folks that work on my team are good at. I have no desire to be good at those things. And they don't have any desire to be good at some of the things I'm good at. That's why we call it a team. Some are linebackers and some are quarterbacks. You don't want your kicker in the line. He'll get killed. Another myth Buckingham talks about, you'll learn and grow in the area where you're weakest. Gallup poll did a poll of parents that said, if your child comes home with 4 A's and 1 F, what will you talk about the most? 70% of the parents, including me, said the F. Now, we're not suggesting that we don't need to bust somebody for an F, okay? Because an F is an F and we got to deal with that. That's different. But the point of Buckingham bringing this up is don't spend your whole life, if that F is in math, trying to make that kid into an engineer or into a chemical engineer for sure, where math is involved. Okay? I mean, just don't do that. This child is probably an artist, might be a writer, might be an on-camera person, might be a behind-the-camera person. You know, we don't know, right? But they're probably, you know, math is not going to be their deal. Now, do we need to get them up where they can add so they can balance their checkbook? Sure, we got to get them past the F. But we need to concentrate on those strengths as much as we concentrate on the weaknesses. Instead, our tendency as parents and as humans is to go over here to the weakness, work all of our time on our weakness, and you can never really take that weakness and turn it into something strong. You can just get it up to mediocre, and that's if you work really, really hard at it. So instead, the truth is this, that we want to grow in our strengths. We want to find what we're good at and just grow and grow and grow and grow in that and become world class in that area. Identify your motivation and your passion. My friend Dan Miller is a career coach, one of the leading career coaches in the nation. And he says, money is ultimately never enough compensation for doing your job. He has coached and tells stories about coaching doctors who become drug addicts because they hate their life and they're making $300,000 a year. He's coached plenty of people that make tons of money and hate what they're doing. They hate their job and they hate their life because of it. And they enter into self-destructive things in their relationships and all throughout their money, even though they have this wonderful income. Money is ultimately never enough. Now, it's a good idea to go make some money, and we want to concentrate on creating an income so we can do the things we talk about in the other 12 lessons here, okay? But at the end of the day, money is, if that is your only motivator, you're taking a kid who has no aptitude in math and you're trying to make them into a chemical engineer. And you're going to be miserable your whole life trying to make your mother happy. That is not a plan. Berkeley did a study on this back in the 60s. They took guys out in a field, psychology department did the study, and they paid them minimum wage. We'll use today's dollars just to make it an example. You know, they paid them like maybe, let's say $7 an hour. And they paid them $7 an hour, broke college kids, to be in this psychological study. And they had them dig a ditch for 4 hours. At the end of 4 hours, they took a lunch break and they said, okay, now fill the ditch back in. And the guy says, why are we filling it back in? He said, doesn't matter, it's your job. You're paying $7 an hour, fill the ditch back in. Fill the ditch back in. At the end of the day, no work had been accomplished. They dug it out the first half, they filled it in the second half. He said, when you come back tomorrow, we're going to double your pay from $7 to $14. And 40% of them didn't show the next day. And they dug a ditch for 4 hours, the ones that showed up. And at the end of the lunch break, they said, fill the ditch back in. Why are we doing this? This doesn't seem to have any purpose to it. Doesn't matter. It's just a job. We're paying you $14 an hour, and that's like double, triple what anybody else is making out there. Just do what we say. Fill the ditch back in. You don't have to understand why. Just do it. The next morning, they said, when you come back tomorrow, we're going to be paying you $21 an hour. 40% didn't show. They quit anyway. They doubled their pay every day and they quit anyway because the work had no meaning. It had no purpose. If we're digging a ditch to lay an electric line, we'll dig a ditch. It has to have somewhere that we're going with this. Money ultimately is not enough compensation for doing the job. Mark Twain said it this way. He said, the secret of success is making your vocation a vacation. Dan Miller, what he's become famous for in his book, 48 Days to the Work You Love, which is a fabulous book, he says, find something that blends your skills, your abilities, your personality traits, your values, your dreams, and your passions. Now, there's a whole list there. Your skills and abilities, your personality traits and values, and your dreams and passions. If you can find something that you're doing all of that in your career, you are going to be on fire. You're going to be creative. You're going to have energy at the end of an unbelievably long week. You're going to be able to keep going and keep going and keep going. And people are going to go, why aren't you tired? That's because God put me on the planet to do this. And people are going to be amazed at how you function and how you're at such a high level because you're functioning in your skills, in your abilities, within your normal personality style, your values. You're not doing something perpendicular with something you don't believe in. You know, it'd be a little tough for me to be passionate about selling credit cards, wouldn't it? Because that goes against everything I believe, doesn't it? Even if it was a dream and they showed me how much money I could make, it wouldn't matter because it goes against my value system. So have a dream, have a passion, and be picking out careers and directions that you're going with your work that reflect in that. Do work you love. Your ethics must align with what you're doing. You know, around our place, you know, working on our team. We've got several hundred folks working on our team right now. And one of the rules we tell people, one of the core values when they're coming on board, when they're being interviewed is, you have to love your job. Doesn't mean you can't have a bad day. Doesn't mean you can't get mad. Doesn't mean you can't get frustrated. Doesn't mean you can't have a fight with somebody inside the building. All that stuff happens. We got people in there, doesn't it? But you can't come to work day after day, week after week, going, I hate my job. I hate my job. I will fire you just for hating your job. Why? Because I don't want to pay people who hate coming around. Because they're obviously not going to be really good at what they do. This is not hard to figure out. And it's my job to set them free to go find what it is they love doing. Sometimes people think that if I just got a degree, everything would be okay. If I just had that skill set, I'd be okay. Don't get confused with that either. There's a great book out called EQ, Emotional Quotient, as opposed to IQ. It's juxtaposed to that, in other words. And what they found in the studies they did for that book was that in the formula that creates success, only 15% of what creates success is formal training in academics. 85% of what creates success is passion, perseverance, character traits and attributes, integrity, things like that are what cause people to win long term. It's not the next degree. It's not, if I just had that class, I would be over the top. No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't. You need to get the class and you need to get the knowledge and grow. There's nothing wrong with academics. Learn. But quit thinking if I just gather up another degree, then I'll be successful. Success is more about other things than it is about just gathering up degrees in academics. So don't get caught up in that. The cool thing in this whole process is you need to take the time to understand your unique personality. The DISC profile will yield tremendous insight into what your natural tendencies will be. We use the DISC profile not as an absolute, but it's just a general guideline to kind of discuss the differences in people within our organization and people that are entering our organization. We even use it to talk about the differences in our marriage between Sharon and I. Because it outlines and you kind of start to go, oh, I understand me. The first time we ever ran one of these was many, many years ago on me. And I had the little profile and it described the tendencies of the person. And I brought it home and my wife read it and she said, oh, that's what's wrong with you. In other words, I kind of understand you now. When she read the book Wild at Heart by John Eldridge, a book on Christian masculinity, she got the same, had the same reaction. She's reading, learning about men, and she's going, oh, this is what's wrong with you. Okay, same kind of a thing, because it gave her insight into how I tick and how I think and who I am. And so learn about your personality traits. The DISC is the D-I-S-C. The D stands for the dominant. About 10% of the public fall into this category. The D, the driving, they're hard driving, dominant. Gary Smalley and John Trent, when they teach this stuff, they use animals to represent these different personality styles. They use the lion in this one. This person is dominant, hard charging, a driver. They can be very task oriented, and they first look to problems. They look at everything as solving a problem. The I, the influencing, is the otter. This person is a party looking for a place to happen. About a fourth of these people, they're also called expressives sometimes. About a fourth of the population fall into this category. This person is people-oriented, outgoing, generally concerned about people-pleasing, and as such, first looks to people when a situation occurs. They look at things through the eyes of people. Everything's a people-oriented thing. The S, about 40% of the public, almost half, the largest of the four quadrants, fall into this is stable, loyal, the golden retriever. These people are amiable, steady, easy to get along with. This person's stable, amiable, loyal, does not like conflict. And they're concerned with pace, concerned about pace, how fast things are going. These are the people that go, if you'll just slow down a little bit, I can think. The C is the compliant, the beaver, the analytical, about a fourth of these people. These are the detail people. This person's logical, analytical, loves detail. They're factual. They can seem very rigid. They love procedures. Now that D, that lion, is the take charge person. They like power. They're bold. They're bottom line. They can hurt your feelings. They can turn people off. They overlook details. Hard charging, but they get stuff done. The I, on the other hand, the otter, again, they're good talkers, they're outgoing, they're entertaining to people, they're impulsive, they can waste your time, they won't be quiet, and they lose sight of the task, because the task is not what matters, it's the party that matters. It's all about the party, baby. And the S, the stable, the golden retriever, again, they hate conflict, they're steady, loyal, calm, understanding, slow to act, they're low profile, they can seem unenthusiastic, lions scare them to death. The S is very stable, very predictable, but they hate conflict. If you put them in a situation for conflict, they will run from conflict. Conflict to them is death. The C, the compliant, the beaver, the melancholy, 25% of these people, they're analytical, love detail, very logical, factual, can seem rigid. Barney Fife, I like the rules, and the rules are this, and if you don't keep the rules are what matter. Everything's got a rule, and there's a process, and I'm really glad you're giving us steps. Baby steps, there's a rule there, and there's a reason those steps are there, and we'll never violate those steps. And the eye's going, yeah, well, what about budgeting for a party? And the D is going, what do you mean it takes 2.5 years to get out of debt on average, or 18 months to get out of debt on average? I'm doing it right now. Gazelle intensity, I eat gazelles, baby. And the S is going, can't everyone just get along? And if you look at the profile in the disc, the whole four thing on the next page, it also gives you another indication about who's fast to make decisions or slow to make decisions. The top of the page, the I and the D make decisions very quickly, very fast. I'm an ID right at the line, at the very top of both, a lot of both. And so I can make a decision in a heartbeat. And if I don't like it, I'll make another decision. Make decisions really, really quick. The S, on the other hand, my wife, a couple of my kids are down there. They're S's and C's, very detailed, very calm. If we wait on them to make a decision on where we're going out to eat, we will all die of hunger. So this conversation, we're just driving along, trying to talk this out. And finally, since we cannot all come and just get along, Dave just chooses. And then we eat quietly because we're all mad because we couldn't make a decision. Oh, you too, huh? And see, this enters into how you do your career, doesn't it? It enters out into how you lead, if you're a team leader at your area. It enters into how you choose and what direction you go, this personality style. When I'm doing the tea glasses and the of mice and mutual funds, and I've got three children with three distinct personality styles, bringing those out, God is calling them into different areas. He's gifted them in different ways, and they're going to go different directions with those gifts, and we need to recognize those. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. So even if you're 52, and this is the first time you heard this stuff, stop and go, wait a minute, all my life I've been going against who I am just because my mother told me I should always be a whatever. And really, I'm not one of those. I'm really one of these. So go be the animal that you are. That's the thing to do. That's fun stuff.